Ahoy there, shipmates. Draw close to the fire and listen well, for tonight we sail into waters deeper and older than any charted by mortal hand. From the sacred mists of Putuoshan, that ancient isle abaft Hangzhou Bay, where temples rise like ghostly watchtowers from the mist. We set our course into the mind of a legend, Sun Tzu. Settle in. This voyage be a bit longer than me usual broadcast. Born in the lands just a day's sail from these hallowed shores some 25 centuries past. Sun Tzu penned words that have outlived kings, empires, and fleets lost to Davy Jones's locker. The art of war, a code of strategy, subtlety, and strength, still casts its spell across the battlefields of warriors and the boardrooms of merchant captains to this very day. But why, mates? Why does his wisdom still ring true across the roaring ages? What secret winds did he capture in his writings that they should fill the sails of those who seek victory, whether by sword or by silver? Tonight, we chart but an overview of his mighty chapters, a first glimpse of the vast treasure hidden within. In voyages to come, we shall dive deeper to plunder each pearl of cunning and craft that Sun Tzu left for us, like a true master mariner, leaving signs for those bold enough to follow. So batten down, open your mind's eye, and prepare to sail not just across the seas, but through the very tides of time itself. Awaken, ye scholars and scoundrels alike! The ghost of Sun Tzu awaits! The Blackbeard Pirates Code podcast reviews the art of war! Forward, laying the keel, avast, mates! As we set our first course into the art of war, we find ourselves greeted not by roaring cannons, but by a whisper, the forward! 'Tis here that the winds first hint at the nature of this strange and eternal text. Many a scholar and war chief have penned praises and interpretations of Sun Tzu's work. But what's important for us sea dogs to know is this. The Art of War ain't a mere book. 'Tis a living map to victory, painted not in ink alone, but in the blood, sweat, and cunning of a thousand battles. The foreword lays it bare. Though the world hath changed, though we fight not with swords, but with pens and plans, Sun Tzu's wisdom cuts just as deep. His truths speak to every soul that seeks advantage on land, at sea, or across the vast oceans of commerce. Whether ye be leading a crew into battle or steering a company through cutthroat waters, these words ring truer than a ship's bell at midnight. Now, hoist anchor and let's set sail into chapter one. Laying plans. Original title, Initial Estimations, the very foundation stone of the whole fortress. Sun Tzu tells us plainly, war or any endeavor be a grave and weighty business, not to be entered into lightly. 'Tis a matter of life and death, survival or ruin, and must be pondered as a captain ponders the winds before a crossing. He lays out five great factors, like the points of a mariner's compass, moral law, the will and unity of the crew behind their captain, heaven, the weather, time, and general conditions beyond mortal control, earth, the terrain, knowing the ground ye stand upon, the commander, the strength, wisdom, and temperament of the leader, method and discipline, organization, chain of command, logistics. A wise captain, says Sun Tzu, weighs these matters afore he ever sets sail. He makes calculations, estimations, and only when the winds favor him does he strike. 'Tis not brute force that wins wars. Nay, 'tis preparation, perception, and patience. The man who knows himself and knows his enemy shall not fear 100 battles. The fool who knows neither shall founder, as surely as a ship breaching on hidden reefs. As a modern example, During the Gulf War, General Norman Schwarzkopf emphasized the importance of understanding both the enemy and one's own capabilities, leading to a swift and decisive victory. In sum, Sun Tzu's first chapter teaches us that all victories are first won in the mind and heart, long before the clash of arms. We must read the tides, sense the winds, and choose our moment with care. 'Tis a lesson every pirate and every soul dreaming of conquest must carve into his very bones. Chapter 2, Waging War. Original title, Doing Battle. Now with plans laid and sails set, Sun Tzu bids us consider the cost of battle. For war, like a long voyage, bleeds a captain's coffers dry, as quick as a hull split on coral. Chapter 2 teaches that prolonged conflict is folly. A drain on supplies, strength, and spirit. The wise commander strikes swiftly and decisively, avoiding the slow death of endless skirmishing. As Blackbeard meself well knows, a ship with empty barrels and weary men be easy prey for the storm and enemy alike. Sun Tzu speaks of the terrible burden of sustaining an army. Provisions must be carried or seized. Soldiers must be paid, fed, and heartened. Equipment must be kept in repair. Every day that a campaign drags on, these burdens grow heavier until even the strongest fleet collapses. Thus, he says, a true master of war ends conflict quickly, storming strongholds, taking supplies from the enemy, and using cunning to shorten the fight. War is not sport. 'Tis a deadly endeavor where hesitation and drawn-out engagements lead to ruin. He also points out that smart captains make war feed itself. They capture the enemy's treasure, use their gear, turn foes to friends when possible. Supply thyself from the enemy, he says, a notion close to every pirate's heart. Ah, 'tis better to let your enemy foot the bill for your victory than to drain your own holds. This chapter reminds us, too, of a deeper truth. The goal of war is not endless bloodletting, but swift and certain triumph. A captain's true glory lies not in the number of foes slain, but in the wars he need not fight. There's wisdom here for the modern world as well, mates. Every business venture, every rivalry drains resources, time, coin, and spirit. Prolonged struggle burns out the best of crews. Victory belongs to them that move quickly, conserve strength, and seize opportunity when it rises abaft the horizon. A good example would be business magnate Warren Buffett advises against prolonged conflicts in business, emphasizing the importance of efficient strategies to achieve goals without unnecessary expenditure. In all things, Sun Tzu bids us to think like a cunning pirate. Strike smart, strike swift, and take what ye need without wasting time or treasure. Chapter 3, Attack by Stratagem. Original title, Planning the Attack. Ahoy, mates. In Chapter 3, Sun Tzu sharpens his blade still further, teaching that the finest victory be not won by fighting at all, but by craft, cunning, and the swift hand of strategy. He says plain, the greatest victory be taken the enemy whole, their forces, their cities, their alliances, without battering them to pieces. To conquer without destroying be the true art. Like a pirate who convinces a merchantman to lower his colors without firing a shot, so too must a wise commander bend his foe without wasting strength. There be a mighty chain of command in winning, Sun Tzu tells us, and it runs thus. First, to defeat the enemy's plans and plots. Second, to break their alliances and friendships. Third, to attack their armies. Last and worst, to lay siege to their strongholds. Sieges, says he, be costly affairs. They bleed a captain's strength, waste time, and turn victory sour. 'Tis better by far to outthink the enemy than to outfight 'em. Aye, trickery, alliances, deception, These be the true tools of the master. In this chapter, Sun Tzu also speaks of the five essentials for victory. He who knows when to fight and when not to fight. He who knows how to handle both large and small forces. He whose ranks be united in purpose. He who be prepared and takes the enemy unprepared. He whose commander be wise and free of interference from fools. He warns of the greatest danger a leader faces, the interference of lords and kings who know naught of war. 'Tis a lesson writ in blood across the decks of many a lost fleet. Too oft, those who hold the gold try to hold the rudder as well, steering the ship to ruin. The captain must have the freedom to chart the best course in the heat of the storm. For the likes of us pirates, and modern leaders too. The message be clear. Build strength through unity. Plan with a shrewd mind, and strike not with brute force, but with cleverness. Outsmart your foes, and take what ye want with your crew intact, and your sails full. A great example that you can still see at work today. Apple Incorporated's strategy of innovation and brand loyalty has allowed it to dominate markets without engaging in price wars, effectively subduing competitors without direct confrontation. In the end, Sun Tzu reminds us, true greatness lies not in the noise of battle, but in the silence of victory, gained without fighting at all. There be no finer mark of a leader than to have conquered so completely that the cannon stays cold and the decks stay dry. Chapter 4, Tactical Dispositions. Original title, Disposition of the Army. Now we sail into deeper waters yet, me hearties. In Chapter 4, Sun Tzu speaks of the quiet strength of readiness. The art of positioning oneself so well that defeat be impossible, while victory comes natural as a tide at full moon. He says, victory can be foreseen, but it cannot be forced. The wise captain does not seek battle recklessly. He waits, prepared in strength and spirit, for the moment when the enemy falters or blunders. A ship, well-rigged and tight against storm, be safe even when the waves howl. Likewise, an army well-placed and patient be beyond defeat. Sun Tzu teaches that the true master first makes himself invincible, then waits for the enemy to offer an opening. 'Tis not about being lucky, nor about attacking with bluster. 'Tis about craft in a position so strong, so solid, that naught but a fool would assail it. He warns against letting pride or hunger for glory drive one into rashness. Many a bold pirate has swung from the yardarm because he mistook courage for wisdom. Nay, restraint be the companion of true power. Like a ship hidden in the fog, ready to strike when the time is ripe, a master commander knows when to show his steel and when to wait. Here, Sun Tzu also teaches of shapelessness, the art of being fluid, like water. Just as a river flows around the stones in its path, so too must a wise captain adapt to every turn of fortune. To be formless is to be undefeatable, for no enemy can strike what he cannot pin down. He speaks too of comparing the two forces. Which army hath discipline? Which hath strength? Which commander hath skill and loyalty? Which hath favorable terrain and morale? Which side be worn down by hunger or disease? By weighing these things, a commander can know the outcome afore the first cannon fires. 'Tis a game of foresight, mates, where the patient hand wins the prize. In all of this, the lesson runs deep. We must not seek to control fate, but to place ourselves in harmony with it. By battling not just harder, but wiser, we be invincible, not because we cannot be harmed, but because we refuse to be caught unready. For the sailor, the warrior, the merchant prince, and the modern soul alike, Sun Tzu's truth endures. Fortune favors the prepared, and the storm dashes only those who dare it without wisdom. In World War II, General Dwight D. Eisenhower demonstrated that he understood this principle and meticulously planned the D-Day invasion, ensuring all conditions were favorable before launching the attack, exemplifying strategic patience. Thus, Chapter 4 leaves us abaft a great and timeless truth, one worth more than all the gold in the Indies. Chapter 5, Energy. Original title, Strategic Power. Avast, mates! As we sail deeper into the uncharted waters of the art of war, Chapter 5 brings us to a mighty secret, the power of energy, or what Sun Tzu calls strategic power. This ain't mere strength of arms, no, sir. 'Tis the clever use of force at the right time, like a ship catching a sudden gust to speed past the rocks. Sun Tzu teaches that there be two kinds of forces at play. The ordinary, Chang, the straightforward, the expected. The extraordinary, Qi, the surprising, the unpredictable. Success, he says, comes not from bludgeoning the enemy with the obvious, but from blending these forces like a master mixing salt water and gunpowder. Attack head on, but strike from an unexpected quarter. Seem weak when ye be strong, and strong when ye be weak. In battle, a wise commander weaves the ordinary and extraordinary together without end, like the endless changes of the sea. He makes the enemy weary and confused, like a sailor lost in the fog, never knowing where the next blow may fall. 'Tis not enough to be strong, ye must be unpredictable. Sun Tzu likens this to the rolling thunder of waves. One coming after another, relentless, impossible to resist. 'Tis about momentum, mates, building pressure until your enemy is crushed without even understanding how it came to pass. Another key lesson, in battle and in life, direct methods may win an engagement, but indirect methods win the whole war. He teaches that excellence lies not in what can be easily seen, the clash of swords, or the shout of men, but in the hidden hand that set the enemy's downfall long before the first blade was drawn. To the likes of us pirates and modern captains of fortune, Sun Tzu's wisdom cries out, don't just react, create the flow, be the storm, not the ship caught within it. By setting your sails to the right winds and striking with energy both seen and unseen, you'll find that battles become not trials of endurance, but dances where ye lead and the enemy stumbles. Southwest Airlines utilized unconventional strategies, such as point-to-point routes and a single aircraft model, to gain a competitive edge over traditional carriers. Thus, Chapter 5 teaches us that energy be a weapon sharper than any cutlass, if wielded with cunning and hidden strength. Chapter 6, Weak Points and Strong. Original title, Empty and Full. Onward we sail into Chapter 6, and here Sun Tzu unveils one of the greatest secrets of the seas, the art of finding weakness and masking strength. He begins by telling us that where the enemy is solid, ye must avoid, and where he is empty, ye must strike. Like water flowing to the lowest ground, a wise captain attacks where resistance be lightest, never where defenses be strongest. 'Tis not a matter of stubborn pride, but of supreme cunning. Many a bold captain has met his doom battering against an enemy's strongest walls, when a small, unguarded gate lay abaft their rear. Sun Tzu speaks of formlessness again here, reminding us that by being ever shifting, ever adapting, we deny the enemy any sure target. When your plans be hidden like treasure beneath the sands, the enemy strikes only empty air. He says plainly, move swiftly when opportunity rises. Remain still when it profits ye not. Show false openings to bait the enemy into blunders. Appear disorderly when ye are most orderly. In these teachings be the heart of the pirate's way. Deception, feints, ambushes, and surprise. A ship that seems crippled may lure greedy foes into a trap. A crew that appears drunk and disorganized may, in truth, be ready to spring with deadly force. Every seeming weakness can be a snare for the foolhardy. Sun Tzu also warns about the power of terrain and positioning. He says that the wise captain draws the enemy to him like iron to a lodestone, luring him into disadvantageous grounds while holding the high places himself. 'Tis a truth from the land battles to the sea fights. Whoever controls the ground or the waters controls the fate of the clash. He bids us think always of the initiative, to seize it, to keep the enemy reactive and uncertain. A ship that moves with purpose and cunning commands the waves. A ship that hesitates becomes a wreck waiting to happen. For us and for all who seek mastery, Chapter 6 teaches this. Victory lies not merely in being strong, but in understanding the enemy's weakness better than he knows it himself. 'Tis not about fighting harder, 'tis about fighting smarter. In life, as in battle, when ye move where others expect ye least and strike where they be weakest, ye need not worry about strength at all. The battle is already won afore the first cannon fires. In the American Civil War, General Ulysses S. Grant's Vicksburg campaign involved unexpected maneuvers that caught Confederate forces off guard, leading to a pivotal Union victory. Thus, Chapter 6 leaves us with a pearl of wisdom more precious than any Spanish gold. True power lies in patience, perception, and the cunning use of what be hidden. Chapter 7, Maneuvering, original title, Military Combat. Ahoy, mates! Now we come to Chapter 7, where Sun Tzu speaks of maneuvering, the art of moving your forces smartly, swiftly, and with the slyness of a sea snake slipping through coral reefs. He warns early, movement be a perilous business. 'Tis not enough to know where you want to go. You must be mindful of the path itself, crossing rivers, marching through dense woods, forcing your crew through deserts or high mountains. These things wear down a force faster than battle ever could. A captain must move with care, lest his men grow tired, his supplies run dry, or his enemy gain the high ground afore him. Sun Tzu bids us remember, speed is essential, but haste be fatal. 'Tis the balance between urgency and preparation that wins the day. He tells tales of dangers, exhaustion from long marches, ambushes when ye pass through narrow places, disorder when the crew is hurried and confused. Thus, 'tis a wise commander who scouts the way ahead, lays traps of his own, and tricks the enemy into moving badly, stretching them too thin, leading them into swamps, or baiting them with false retreats. In this chapter, Sun Tzu also speaks of the dangers of anger and pride. A captain who lets rage or wounded vanity command him will charge blindly, like a fool rushing into a gale without lowering his sails. Patience, mates, patience, and cool-headed thinking win more battles than fury ever did. A clever commander, he says, feigns weakness to tempt the enemy into foolish attacks, then strikes when the enemy's formation is broken and spirit is low. Sun Tzu describes it thus: throw them into disorder and then strike them. A masterstroke, if there ever was one. He also reminds us that a leader must understand not just the terrain, but the nature of men. Soldiers be like water. They favor easy ground, avoid hardship, and scatter when leadership is weak. The wise captain shapes his crew's spirit, leading them where they wish to go, but bending their will to his purpose. In the end, maneuvering be about control. Control of movement, control of spirit, control of fortune itself. In the business world, we have the example of Amazon's discreet expansion into various markets, followed by rapid dominance, reflects the principle of concealing intentions until execution. A pirate who knows when to push forward, when to hold fast, and when to bait the enemy into folly will find that he wins battles not by strength alone, but by mastery or the very rhythm of war. By the way, should you need to take a powder or grab a snack, just put me on pause, and I shall be here when you return. A marvel of the new age. Chapter 8, Variation in Tactics. Original title, 9 Changes. With the sails still full, mates, we steer into Chapter 8. Variation in Tactics, the deep art of adapting to the ever-changing winds of fortune. Sun Tzu here teaches that no plan survives unscathed once it meets the chaos of battle. I, a wise captain, must change his course like a helmsman adjusting to sudden squalls. Those who cling stubbornly to a single plan are like ships sailing headlong into reefs they could well have avoided. He speaks of 9 varieties of ground, 9 different battle conditions, and the correct way to handle each. Though the chapter names them for land war, the meaning holds fast for any voyage. Some grounds be easy to traverse, some be difficult and dangerous. Some be traps laid by the enemy. Some offer advantage if seized quickly. Others must be fled from as ye would flee a ship taking on water. The message be clear. Adaptability be survival. A captain must shift his tactics according to the ground he finds himself upon. Sun Tzu also warns of 6 kinds of ruin that can befall a leader. Recklessness leading to destruction. Cowardice leading to capture. A hot temper provoking foolish challenges. A delicate honor leading to needless risk. Overconcern for his men, causing hesitation. Gullibility, letting enemies deceive him. Mark these well, says Sun Tzu, for even the finest captain can sink his ship if he loses sight of the bigger horizon. Another precious truth he offers. Sometimes you must leave openings for the enemy to escape. A foe who feels trapped fights like a cornered beast. A foe who sees a way out may flee or lose heart. 'Tis better to let 'em run than to corner 'em where they'll sell their lives dearly. In business, in battle, and in life itself, variation in tactics teaches that a stiff, unyielding captain will snap under pressure, while the flexible and observant leader thrives. A great example would be General George S. Patton's adaptability during World War II, adjusting tactics in response to dynamic battlefield conditions, showcases the importance of flexible strategies. Adapt or perish, that be the law of both the sea and the sword. Thus, Chapter 8 closes with a truth as old as the tides. The captain who reads the winds, shifts his sails, and stays ever ready to change course shall ride the storm and reach the treasure. Chapter 9, The Army on the March. Original title, Marching the Army. Avast, me hearties! In Chapter 9, Sun Tzu turns his sharp eye to the signs of the land. Read in the face of the world itself to predict the fortunes of battle. He teaches that the wise captain must not only look to his own crew, but to the very earth and sky around him. A leader worth his salt knows how to read signs. Not unlike a sailor reading the clouds, the birds, and the shift of the tides to divine what storms be coming. Sun Tzu lays out many clues and omens a commander must watch when marching. If birds rise suddenly from the thicket, enemies be lurking. If dust rises in sharp columns, 'tis cavalry. If low and broad, infantry. If trees move unnaturally, enemy forces be hiding beneath. A captain who misses these signs be like a blind helmsman, heading straight for the rocks with a smile on his lips. He also warns about the terrain itself. High ground gives the advantage. Marshes and lowlands invite disease and disaster. Narrow passes must be taken before the enemy arrives. Moreover, Sun Tzu tells us that when in camping, a wise army stays near sources of water and supplies, but keeps their backs to the solid ground, cliffs or rivers, so the enemy cannot attack from behind. More important still, he speaks of the spirit of men on the march. A crew that is tired, ill-fed, and poorly led becomes a threat, not only to itself, but to its own plans. Marching too long, exposing the men to harsh elements, or letting the enemy see your weariness be the quick path to defeat. Sun Tzu advises watching the enemy's movements as close as you watch the stars. He says, if the enemy offers easy battle, he wants to lure ye. If he appears disorderly, he may be setting a trap. If he asks for peace without reason, he may be planning betrayal. Trust not to appearances alone, mates, for many a smiling foe hides a dagger behind his back. Modern leaders like to say, trust but verify. At its heart, Chapter 9 teaches that marching be more than moving men from place to place. 'Tis about guiding the spirit, protecting the strength, and reading the world like a sailor reads the stars. Napoleon Bonaparte's ability to maneuver his troops effectively, regardless of their size, often led to victories against larger armies. To the pirate and the modern leader alike, the lesson is clear. Those who move blindly be doomed, but those who march with wisdom shall carry the day and seize the prize. Chapter 10, Terrain. Original title, Ground Formations. Hoist the mainsails higher, for we dive now into Chapter 10, Terrain, the very bones of battle. Sun Tzu here speaks of six kinds of ground a captain might find himself fighting upon, each with its own dangers and advantages. As ever, the message be this: he who knows the land wins the land. The six types be accessible ground, easy for both sides to enter. Whoever holds it wisely hath the advantage. Entangling ground, hard to advance across, easy to retreat. Beware being caught and divided. Temporizing ground, ground neither side benefits from holding. Better to move quickly onward. Narrow ground, places where few can pass at once. Control these choke points, and ye hold the enemy by the throat. Precipitous ground, high cliffs, steep hills, dangerous if unguarded. Distant around, where supplies run short, and both sides are weary. Caution be the watchword here. Sun Tzu teaches that by knowing the type of ground ye stand upon, ye can choose the correct action. Attack, defend, withdraw, or feint. He reminds us of a simple but eternal law. The clever combatant imposes his will on the enemy, but does not allow the enemy's will to be imposed on him. Thus, a wise captain uses the terrain to shape the battle like a potter molding clay. He moves when the ground favors him. He lures the enemy into bad ground when it favors them not. Sun Tzu warns of the dangers of disorder, fear, and overconfidence among your men. On difficult ground, a captain must stiffen their spines. On advantageous ground, he must restrain their eagerness. Discipline be the golden anchor that holds the ship steady, no matter the waves. A sly part of this chapter be Sun Tzu's advice to spread false tales and sow confusion among the enemy. If they be strong, prepare for them. If they be angry, unsettle them. Set them running toward a trap or make them hesitate just long enough for victory to slip through their fingers. For the modern sailor, whether in business, in battle, or in life's struggles, Chapter 10 offers a treasure trove of truth. Know the ground ye walk upon. Adapt your tactics to the lay of the land. Make the enemy dance to your tune. An example of what happens when you do not know this principle happened during the Battle of Gettysburg. General Robert E. Lee's lack of familiarity with the terrain contributed to the Confederate defeat, highlighting the importance of terrain knowledge. In the end, mates, terrain ain't just the dirt beneath your boots. It be the situation, the moment, the spirit of the time. Master it, and ye master fate itself. Chapter 11. The Nine Situations. Original title. The Nine Grounds. Ahoy, shipmates. Chapter 11. Be a great and mighty stretch of open sea. Sun Tzu's longest and perhaps most profound. Here, he speaks of nine situations. Nine battlegrounds where men might find themselves, each requiring a different art of command. He lays them out plain. Dispersive ground, where the crew be close to home and liable to turn tail if things sour. Facile ground, easy to move across. Dangerous, because both sides have the same ease. Contentious ground, high ground or critical places that all desire. Open ground, places where both sides can freely move. Caution be the key. Ground of intersecting highways, crossroads, where many paths meet and much traffic passes, vital for supply and movement. Serious ground, deep into enemy lands, where retreat be perilous. Difficult ground, swamps, mountains, forests, the devil's playground if not handled smartly. Hemmed in ground, where ye be boxed in, trapped by cliffs or rivers. Desperate ground, where survival demands fighting to the last. No retreat, no surrender. In each of these grounds, Sun Tzu prescribes different behaviors. In dispersive ground, rally your men close. In facile ground, don't start fights. In contentious ground, move fast and strike first. In open ground, secure your supply lines. In intersecting ground, build alliances or guard against betrayal. In serious ground, steal the enemy's resources. In difficult ground, keep moving and avoid entrapment. In hemmed-in ground, use cunning and deceptions to escape. In desperate ground, inspire every man to fight like he's defending his own blood. Sorry, I apologize for that disruption in the middle of chapter 10. Got choked on me own spittle. Sun Tzu tells us that when men see no way out, they fight with the fury of demons. A wise captain sometimes must create desperate conditions to draw out the finest courage in his crew. Burn the ships, sink the boats, and leave no path but forward. He also speaks at length about seizing the initiative, sowing confusion in the enemy's ranks, and keeping the foe guessing at your intentions. Deception be the sail and rudder of victory. In this chapter, Sun Tzu again reminds us that success comes not from strength alone, but from knowing the nature of your ground, the mood of your men, and the heart of your foe. In the Battle of Agincourt, King Henry V's forces were cornered, but fought valiantly, leading to a significant English victory despite being outnumbered. One might assume that the opposing commander had not studied Sun Tzu. For us, pirates and modern adventurers alike, the nine situations teach that leadership be a matter of reading the ever-changing waves and weather of fortune, and never losing the will to steer bold. No matter the storm. Chapter 12, The Attack by Fire. Original title, The Use of Fire. Now, mates, we sail into fiery waters. Chapter 12, where Sun Tzu speaks of attacking with fire. Here be lessons most dear to the heart of a pirate. For what better way to conquer than with flame and terror? Sun Tzu describes five ways to wield fire as a weapon. Burn the enemy's camp. Burn his supplies. Burn his stores and arsenals. Burn his baggage trains. Cast fire among his men to spread fear and chaos. But, he warns, fire be a weapon of the fickle winds. 'Tis deadly if used right, but it can turn upon the user if the weather be wrong. To use fire, a captain must know the time, the wind, and the enemy's position, lest he scorch his own sails. Sun Tzu says, the best time to strike with fire be during dry spells and in the hour of greatest heat, when even the smallest spark can birth a raging inferno. He also reminds us that fire, like all weapons, must be followed with action. When fire breaks out, attack with the wind. Do not sit back and admire the flames. Drive the foe while he be weakened and dismayed. An attack by fire is more than just a burning assault. 'Tis a strategy of fear. It strips away the enemy's sense of control, so in panic and confusion. Fear spreads like wildfire among men. A force that fears defeat has already begun to lose. Sun Tzu also broadened the meaning of fire beyond the literal. Fire can mean any sudden, devastating action, a surprise attack, a ruthless move in business, a revelation that breaks the enemy's spirit. Fire be a symbol of irreversible change, a force that reshapes the battlefield itself. But he cautions too, reckless use of fire can destroy both sides. Like a pirate torching a prize ship without salvaging her treasure, a fool who unleashes devastation without plan may find himself adrift in ruin. Thus, Sun Tzu teaches that the true art be not just to unleash destruction, but to command the aftermath. To seize what the enemy lost and turn it to your own gain. The use of strategic bombing during World War II, such as the firebombing of Dresden, demonstrates the application of fire as a weapon to demoralize and disrupt enemy forces. In the world of the living and the dealings of kings, captains, and common men, attack by fire be a lesson in using destruction, not for its own sake, but as a tool to claim new ground and force new fortunes. Chapter 13, The Use of Spies. Original title, Employing Spies. Ahoy and hark, you fine-hearted crew. We come at last to Chapter 13, where Sun Tzu unveils one of the sharpest, most secret weapons in any captain's arsenal, spies. Eye mates, intelligence, espionage, the hidden dagger in the shadows. Without it, no king, no general, nay, not even a pirate captain could ever hope to master the tides of war. Sun Tzu says plain, foreknowledge cannot be gained from ghosts and spirits, nor by analogy, nor by calculation. It must be obtained from men who know the enemy's situation. In other words, guessing and wishful thinking won't win ye victories. Only information gathered from sharp eyes and quiet tongues will. He divides spies into five kinds, like a deck of secret cards. Local spies, common folk of the enemy's land, bribed or persuaded. Internal spies, officials within the enemy's ranks, turned to your side. Double agents. Enemy spies ye capture and turn against their own. Doomed spies, those sent to spread false information, expendable but vital for deception. Surviving spies, those who return safely with true news. Each type be vital, and the wise commander uses all five in careful measure, like a cook blending spices in a rare stew. Sun Tzu emphasizes that spies must be handled with the greatest secrecy and respect. They risk life and limb in the shadows, gathering whispers that can topple kingdoms. No treasure be too dear to reward a good spy, he says, for a single scrap of true intelligence can be worth more than 1,000 men on the field. He also warns that without trust and clever management, spies be worthless. Like a leaky ship, bad handling will lose all value they offer and doom the enterprise. A captain must be shrewd, discreet, and grateful to those who serve in silence. One great lesson Sun Tzu teaches here be control of information. A clever captain not only gathers truth, but shapes the enemy's truth, feeding them lies, rumors, and fear. By using doomed spies and double agents, he sows confusion, mistrust, and division among enemy ranks. Sun Tzu tells us that many a battle has been won before a sword was drawn, by outsmarting the enemy in the mind rather than on the field. The truly wise commander wins with spies what others win with blood. The success of the Allied forces in World War II was significantly aided by intelligence operations like the British Double Cross system, which turned German spies into double agents. In the world of merchant princes, politicians, and modern marauders, alike. Chapter 13 rings truer than a ship's bell at midnight. Those who master information, who see the unseen currents and move ahead of others, control the very seas of fortune. The legendary Wayne Gretzky, often called the Great One, by hockey fans, was quoted as saying, "I skate to where the puck is going to be, not where it has been." This gem of wisdom matches Sun Tzu's teachings right down to the bone. Anticipating the move, staying ahead of the action, and striking smart rather than chasing what's already past. Thus, mates, Sun Tzu leaves us with his final truth. The greatest victories be not won by force, but by knowledge. The sharpest blade is the one hidden in the mind. Ahoy, brave souls and clever minds! Thus ends our first grand voyage through the waters of the art of war. We've charted the mighty seas of Sun Tzu's teachings, laying plans, striking where the enemy be weakest, and moving like shadows on the wind. But fear not, mates, this be only the beginning. Soon we'll be launching deep dives into the finer arts of strategy. Adaptability, flowing like water and changing like the seas. Tactics, the sharp cutlass in a sly captain's hand. The nine situations, where your very survival depends on reading the winds of fate. Each dive will be richer and deeper, uncovering pearls of wisdom fit to make any soul, pirate or prince, a master o' his own fortune. As for meself, I set a new course this very day, sailing up the great Yangtze River to the fabled Chongming Island, near the mighty city of Shanghai, one of the biggest river islands in all the world, lush and wild, hiding secrets in its forests and marshes. 'Tis a place where a man like Sun Tzu might have marshaled a ghostly host, unseen till it was too late. I intend to walk her shores and dream a little of unseen armies and strategies lost to time. And perhaps I may even have the pleasure of meeting the legend in person in the ethereal mist. Before I haul away the anchor, mates, a reminder to all who sail with me. Download the Blackbeard app, where you can summon me anytime for a proper chat. Ask about strategy, battle, business, life, or any trouble ye face in these modern seas. I'll be standing watch, ready to offer sage advice with a pirate's heart. And don't forget to subscribe, hearties, to join in the almost worldwide treasure hunts. Real prizes, real adventures, the kind of plunder worth hoisting a flag over. Until next we meet, fair winds to ye, sharp minds to guide ye, and may fortune favor your every bold sail.